The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing out there in Radio Land? Welcome to Matt Slick Live. You listen to Matt Slick. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And let's see. Sometimes on Fridays we do hate mail. Maybe we'll get to some of that, to some Q&A. Tonight, in 2 hours, we're going to be having a debate slash discussion. It's not going to be a formal debate. It's going to be a discussion, kind of a back and forth for a couple hours. On the Trinity, the Unitarians are raising their ugly heads, and they're trying to attack the person and work of Christ. So we'll be working on that. And we'll get information on the calendar. I think Laura's going to put that there. So if you go to the CARM website, at the bottom, the footer that you'll see in the middle column, you'll see calendar of events. And you can go there, and she'll put it up there in a little bit. And you get the information where it is. All right. Boy, that was quick. That was easy. Hey, why don't we just go on the calls? Let's get to Juanita from Michigan. Juanita, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. I'm not a Trinitarian.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a paper by you titled Jesus' Two Natures, God and mm-hmm. Man, dated yes. 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And you offer several scriptures as proof of Jesus' God nature because mm-hmm. he is worshipped. And my question is, have you come to the knowledge of the truth about these worship scriptures since 2008, or do you still hold to the belief that Jesus was worshipped?
Well, he was worshipped. Matthew 2:11, 14, 33, 28, 9, John 9:35-38, Hebrews 1:6. Mm-hmm. Proskuneo. Are you a Jehovah's Witness?
No, I'm not. No. Okay. So may I have a moment just to maybe bring some light onto this subject?
One thing
you
at a time,
say that.
Sure.
Proskuneo. So there are. Yeah, I'm not really good on my mm-hmm. Greek pronunciation, but there are several words for worship, and one of them is proskuneo. But there's another one, more important one, called sebomai. And one is an action, and one is an attitude. And the proskuneo is used, it's misinterpreted as worship many times. You can look those up.
Okay, hold on. So what you're trying to do is just teach, okay? You're not teaching the truth, okay? You're not. So let me ask you some questions. You say Jesus is not God in flesh, right?
Excuse me?
You say that Jesus is not God in flesh, right?
God did not become a man. His word became flesh.
Okay, why does God the Father call Jesus God in Hebrews 1:8? When he says, but of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Why do you call him God?
Do you really, this might not be the place to get into a conversation about Hebrews
sure.
8, which I'm... Would you want to?
Sure.
Okay. You won't cut me off or you won't put me on mute or
no,
anything,
I mean,
right?
If you're rude, look, if you're rude, yeah. But, I mean, if you just want to go on for 5 minutes, I'm not going to let you do that. We're going to have interaction.
No.
But tell me about Hebrews 1:8. Why does it, when God says, of the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, why does it mean he's not God?
So Hebrews 1:8 is a quote from Psalm.
45,
and
6.
If you, mm-hmm. pardon?
In Psalm 45, yeah. verse 6, yes.
Right, uh-huh. right. And if you, Hebrews 1:8 takes a little bit of conversation. So if you look at what they're saying in Hebrews 1, in Psalms, what it's really basically saying is it's a song of praise describing the splendor and sovereignty of the King Messiah. And, one thing we have to just keep in mind.
So hold on. So if that's the case, you're saying Psalm 45 is about the Messiah? Is that what
it's
you're
a song of praise.
Then it says in that psalm, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Who's the God that they're speaking of there?
If you look at what the real translation, it says, your throne is from God.
It's not what it says. No, it's not what it says. Okay. Well, what Bible do you want to use? No, I've had Hebrew, okay, and Greek in seminary and stuff, and I have tools in front of me, and I've gone over this verse 1,000 times. So what Bible translation are you getting this from?
That actually comes from the Tanakh.
Oh, okay. So you're not getting it from the scriptures, right?
Well, I'm getting it from the Hebrew scriptures, the Tanakh.
Okay. So what does it say in Hebrew in Psalm 45, verse 6?
Okay. It says, your throne is from God. It is
forever. No, it doesn't say that. No, it does not say that. Okay, your throne.
Can we move on to something else?
Hold on. You know, I'm looking at it in the Hebrew. I'm looking at the Hebrew right now. Okay? Gakisa Elohim Olam Waed. That's what it says. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Literally, it's your throne, God, forever and ever. That's what's going on. That's what it says. There's nothing else in there. Okay? See, if your position is right, you shouldn't have to alter the Word of God to make it fit. Now, should you?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. So then what it says in the Hebrew is your throne, O God, is forever and ever.
Okay. But may I mention something without being interrupted?
Sure. No, I don't know.
Okay. There are many translations. There are many perversions. Depends on where you go.
Well, let's see. The NASB says, your throne, O God, as is the ESV, the King James, the New King James, your divine throne endures forever and ever, RSV, LEB says, your throne, O God, NIV, LXX, that's the Septuagint, the throne of you, the God, into the age of ages. So the Septuagint is, right?
May I say something real quick?
You've kind of
diverted us from the subject. We were talking about worship, and you kind of interrupted me when I was asking.
Well, it is my show, so I can do that.
And like I say, if you want to quit talking, then certainly hang up. But I wanted to mention the other word for worship, which was sebomai. And that is a true word for worship, and it's only used in relation to God. It's never used in relation to Jesus. One is an action, proskuneo, and one is an attitude of devout religious worship. And this word, when Lydia, the seller of purple, was a worshiper of God, this word, sebomai, for worship is only used for God, never for Jesus.
Okay.
And it's a deception say that proskuneo is worship.
Well, Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, go Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That word is proskuneo. Jesus used the word proskuneo.
Hold on.
He was quoting Deuteronomy 6:13, and so that means worship. So why is Jesus using the same word of worship that he receives? The same word.
What I said was that the proskuneo, that word is used for God. It's used for Jesus. It's used for men. Cornelius met Peter. But what I'm saying is that sebomai, the real word for worship, is only used for God, never for Jesus.
Try lutreo, to serve him only. So you think because of that, I've heard this argument before, all right? So you deny Jesus is God in flesh. That's what you do. Yet he's called
Jesus
God.
Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. See, please, Scripture never says that God became a man. It says can you hold on a second? Word became flesh. Can you hold?
Yes, sure. And the Word was God. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So was the Word God?
The Word, it's God's Word.
No, it didn't say that. It said God's Word. It says the Word was God. So do you agree that the Word was God?
The Word was, I could probably say that the
you
Word
probably
was,
could? Let's see, in the Greek.
Well, see,
in the Greek.
Let me ask you this.
Well, no. Please question. Hold on. As soon as you start getting pressed, you want to just go someplace else.
No,
does it
I
or does it not say,
this.
What does it or does it not say the Word was God? I just wonder if you even can read it.
Now, you
first
know
of all.
Greek. You know Greek. Please. You know Greek. So help me understand this. Whenever
to.
I would go to look at Bible translations, I would always go to John 1:1, always. And it always said the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word.
No, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. That's not what it is.
And the Word was God. I'm sorry.
That's right.
But
there
this
you go.
One time I picked up, now use your Greek here for me. This one time I picked up an interlinear Bible, and I went to John 1:1 like I always do. And it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. Are you muting me?
No.
Huh?
No,
are
not
you
muting,
muting
you.
Me?
I said no. I'm
no.
listening to you.
Okay.
I'm
so
looking at the Greek.
And so in the, when the interlinear said God was the Word, why did it not say the Word was God? Now, I'm not a
first
Greek
of all,
scholar.
Okay, let me tell you something. I don't know what you were looking at. You could have been looking at the cult Jehovah's Witness work. I don't know.
It was Thunderfeld's interlinear Bible.
Okay,
I have
to
it
see.
Right here.
What is it? The what?
It's the
Zondervan.
The Zondervan.
Zondervan.
Parallel
okay.
New Testament in Greek
right.
and English.
Okay, now, how about this? What I'm going to do is read you the Greek. I'm going to read it to you. That last segment. Okay? Kai halagos entheos. Kai halagos entheos. Kai is and. Ha is the. Logos is word. Ein is was. And the word theos is God. Literally, in order, it says, and the Word was God. That's what it literally says in the Greek. I'm reading it to you.
So, if I understand it correctly, what you're saying is that it's a predicate nominative. You can say that God is light, but can we say that light okay. is God?
So look.
Can we
so
change
what,
it is what I'm asking.
You're changing it. So look, you're changing it. The Bible says, and the Word was God. So do you agree that the Word was God?
I think that God was the Word.
I didn't ask that. I didn't ask that. I asked, do you agree that the Word was God? That's what it says. That's the literal Greek. Okay? That's what it says. Do you agree that the Word was God?
The Word was the Word of God.
It doesn't say the Word was the Word of God. You have to keep changing God's Word to make it fit what you want. It says, we got a break, so I want you to hold on. We'll continue after the break. But it literally says, and the Word was God. Kai halagos entheos. That's, and the Word was God. I'm going to ask you after the break here. We got to go. But if you believe what it actually says, we'll be right back. Hey, folks, hope you want to stay tuned. It's getting interesting. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. Juanita, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. So, to continue, do you agree that the text says, and the Word was God?
May I say something first? I'd like to get back to my question. You have me off in Hebrews and John, and I called in to ask a question about worship, and mm-hmm. I'd kind of like to finish that conversation first.
Sure, let's finish it, because I can help you out. The word proskuneo is okay. used of men and of angels and of Jesus. So, yeah, I get
and
it.
And God. Thank God.
And stuff like that. That's
now,
right. So it's not an exact proof, but it is something that's interesting because in proskuneo is also used of like Peter, and he says, "Don't bow down before me." But Jesus receives
Peter
the bowing.
Peter and Cornelius.
Yeah, and Jesus receives it. So do you do the same thing that they do? Do you bow down to Jesus?
I. It's an action of respect.
I just asked, do you bow down before him? Do you get on your knees before Jesus like they did?
May I finish asking the question?
Sure, go ahead.
Now we have the word sebomai that is used, like, for example, in Acts 16:14, the Lydia, the seller of purple. That word sebomai is used for the Almighty God. Well, let me rephrase that. It's used for deity because one time it's used in relation to the goddess Diana. So it is used for deity in one instance, Diana. But other than that, it's used for God, for deity. It is never, ever, ever, did I say ever, used in relation to Jesus. Jesus is not deity. Sebomai, the word for worship.
Hold on.
Okay.
I get you. Okay, you say it's never used of Jesus, right? That's what you say, right?
Right.
The word occurs 10 times, okay? Worshippers, God-fearing. Okay, so what you've done is you have taken a word that doesn't appear in Jesus, and you said because of that alone, he's not God, right?
No. I'm just saying, all I'm saying right there is that Jesus was never worshipped as God is worshipped.
Okay.
We're only talking about worship. If we want to talk of Jesus as God or go on to all these other things, Hebrews and John and Philippians
and
all those, I'd love to.
Let's do it right now.
But
good.
Can we just agree that Jesus is never worshipped the way that God is worshipped?
No, I don't agree with that. I will agree the word sebomai is not used of Christ, okay? But
and
it does say...
And it's only used of deity.
If it does... What's that?
It is only used of deity.
I would agree. It's used of deity.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. We can
so no
on.
Problem. Yeah, it's used of deity, all right? Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, if we can find...
something.
If we can find a verse,
you, Lord.
If we can find a verse that says that Jesus is God, would you believe it?
I certainly would.
Good. Hebrews 1:8. But of the Son, he says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." That's what it says. It's a quote from Psalm 45:6, which is, "Thy throne, O God." O God is in the vocative. So that's what it means. That's what it says. Do you agree?
The word "O" doesn't appear.
It's the vocative.
I mean,
the vocative. There, in Greek, the nominative and the vocative.
The vocative.
You don't know Greek.
You know, I know just
says,
enough to be dangerous, you could
yeah,
say.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. Can you hold on a sec?
Spirit.
Can you hold on a sec? Now, it says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." That's what the reference is to Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus is called God there by God the Father?
No, actually, that's a quote, and the writer of Hebrews is not, and it doesn't say he says. Go to it and see. It doesn't. It says of the angels he says.
Ma'am,
but
I know
when
this.
You get to the verse about
I know
eight,
this.
Okay,
I know,
then
I know
it
this.
Doesn't say he says. God
I know
didn't
this.
Say it.
Yes, it
okay?
does. Let me explain to you why you don't know what you're talking about. Hold on.
Go to the Greek.
Hold on. Yeah. I am.
Okay.
You go to verse 5. To which of the angels did he ever say? It's apen.
He says,
the
right.
And that's the word say is there. For which of the angels did he ever say, "You're my son, today I've begotten you"? And again, "I'll be a father to him and he shall be a son." And when he again brings the firstborn of the world, he says, right? There it is. Lege.
No, it does. No, go to the Greek. He says,
I'm looking
does not
at the Greek.
There.
I'm looking
well,
at the Greek.
There,
I'm looking at the Greek.
Are.
I'm looking at the Greek. It's lege.
Well,
lambda, epsilon, gamma, epsilon, iota. I'm looking at it. That's what
I'm
it says.
I'm looking at it too, Matt.
Look, I'm looking at the Greek, okay?
I'm
in
looking
fact,
at it too.
You're looking at Hebrews 1:6?
We have a problem here. Let
yes,
me go
we do.
To,
wait a second. Yeah. I asked you a question. Are you looking at Hebrews 1:6?
Let me go. I wasn't prepared for this, but I can certainly.
You said you were looking at it. You said you were looking at
well,
it. How could you be looking,
looking
at it?
You're not. I'm looking it on my paper.
On your paper. Ah.
Yes,
so I have in my hand. Hold on. Right here. Right here. This is right here, right in my hand. Okay, pages, okay?
Okay.
This is the Greek English New Testament, and it has the Nestle Allen Greek New Testament apparatus in it, which shows textual variants. I'm looking at Hebrews 1:6. I can look at the Greek. I'm looking at what it says right there.
Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8.
Look, you are so difficult. You don't want to submit to God's word.
Hebrews,
you want to say, I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to show you what's going on, and you don't even want it. You don't want it. You don't want Christ. You want to submit him. Would you? Excuse me. You need to be careful here. Okay? When he again brings the firstborn of the world, he says, that's the Father speaking, and let all the angels of God worship him. The word is proskuneo. Okay? So God is telling him, telling everybody to worship him, which is from Psalm 99, verse 7, which is worship and adoration. Now, and of the angels, he says, and there's the word lege again, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, the word lege isn't there. It's a continuation of the previous thought. But of the Son,
he says, but of the Son.
Excuse me. I got that. I'm telling you, lege isn't there in the Greek. I just said it.
Okay,
but
and
you,
that's
in
what
Greek,
I thought.
Why don't you listen? I'm going to ask you some difficult questions here. I haven't even got you to the difficult stuff yet. But of the Son,
But of the Son.
Is he speaking?
Thy throne.
Oh, God is forever and ever. But of the Son, is God speaking of the Son there?
Well, the word is doesn't appear either.
Is he speaking of the Son there? Who's the quote in reference to? Your throne of God's forever and ever. Who's it in reference to?
The writer of Hebrews is saying this. God is not saying this.
Oh, okay. Oh, I get it. So, okay, who's the writer of Hebrews saying it to?
But unto the Son, thy throne. So he's just getting through saying, talking about the angels.
Okay.
And then he says, but unto the Son, thy throne.
Oh, God is forever and ever. That's right. So you said that the writer of Hebrews says that. I'm glad you admit that's what the scriptures teach. Okay, let it break. Hold on. We'll be right back after these messages. You know, they say so much heresy is a little time. I enjoy these kind of conversations. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's see if Juanita's still there, are you?
I'm still fucking here over here.
Okay. So, do you admit that the writer of Hebrews is addressing the Son?
He's addressing God's throne. It's the way that I've kind of got a feeling about it. They're talking
about
the throne of God.
It doesn't say that.
Know?
It says your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So who's the writer?
They're talking about the throne of
God.
Who's
the writer addressing that to? Who's the writer addressing the statement to? Your throne, O God, is forever and ever.
To God.
No, it says, but of the Son.
They're saying the throne, but of the Son.
But of the Son. That's why the implication is the verbal form of he is in there, because it's what's going on previously. God says in verse 5, God says in verse 6, God says in verse 7, and then of the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever.
Verse 8, he doesn't say.
In verse 8.
He said it out of there. In 8, he doesn't say.
So who's it being addressed to? Who is it being addressed to? Who is the statement, your throne, O God, is forever and ever? Who's it being addressed to? God the Father? The Son? Bob down the street? But of the Son, the Son says, is it the Son speaking?
No.
Well, then who's speaking?
the writer of Hebrews.
So the writer of Hebrews is speaking of God the Father, right?
The writer of Hebrews is saying what was said to the Son, that the throne of God is forever and ever.
So what you're saying is what it was said to the Son is that it was said to the Son that your throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's what you just said. So that's what was said to the Son, your throne, O God? So your throne, O God, who said to the Son, that's calling him God. You just said that.
The throne of thy God
it doesn't
is
say that.
Forever and ever.
It doesn't
now,
say that.
You know what?
Why do you keep changing God's word?
This is not fruitful.
Yes, it is. Why do you keep changing God's word to make it fit what you want?
I'm not. Let's move on to something that's a little less confrontational. I don't think we're going to agree on this, and we're wasting our breath.
Well, that's right, because I believe the word, and you don't. Yeah. That's why we're not going to agree.
No.
I'll give you one more chance.
That accusation.
You don't believe God's word.
An accusation to somebody else once.
You don't believe God's word.
And I took it. You are being insulting.
I don't care.
You are not a Christian.
You are an antichrist, and you are teaching false doctrine, and you and all who believe like you are going to go to hell. You need to repent of this. Don't be telling me this stuff.
Scripture. It is not your place.
I can prove Jesus is. I can prove from Scripture. I can prove Jesus.
You're denying
who Christ is. You're the spirit of the Antichrist. Okay?
May I say something back to you?
Sure. Say what you want.
You are doing the work of Satan.
Okay. So, look.
Okay, now
can I prove to you?
So
can I prove to you?
Move on?
Can I prove to you that Jesus is God in flesh from Scripture? I'll prove it.
Where does it say that? Does it not say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us?
Yes, the Word was God.
God became flesh.
Wait. Okay, we're done. We're done. We're done. We're done. Look, so I just hung up on her because I could see instantly what's happening. She doesn't care. She's just going to go on and on and on. And I don't want to get into an argumentative thing because I could just tell right away. I've done this 1,000 times. It's just going to elevate. We've already gone to John 1:1. I had to fight her just to get her to believe what it says, and then she wants to go back to it to argue about it. I don't want to do it. Callers are waiting. We're going to move along. I can prove to her, but she's not interested in it. She is the spirit of the Antichrist, folks. You know what's really interesting is this kind of a thing is on the rise. And it's really interesting to me. I've really seen a lot of this on the rise lately. Let's get to David from Texas. Sorry, you've been waiting a half hour, buddy. Sorry about that. What do you got, man?
Well, Matt, it's an honor to talk with you. I wanted to find out some more history and facts pertaining to the Tetra Grammaton, the YHWH, a lot of people like to add the vowels to it,
right,
and say Yahweh or Jehovah.
Right.
But before we do that, how many surviving, scribe texts that the Old Testament can be translated off of? How many of those still exist?
I don't know because I'm not I don't study that. I don't know how many.
Which one do they use? Is it that one in London, the Septuagint?
I'm telling you, I don't study this stuff particularly, the issue of historicity and which manuscript tree is used where or which one or what. I just don't have answers for that. I don't study it. Okay.
We'll move on. No problem. The Tetragrammaton, as far as I know, and it's not that I know the facts about it, but it's in the Old Testament like a couple thousand times, and that the word was so sacred that they never wrote the vowels down with it. Mm-hmm. Who in the early Israelites might have had the full name of, I guess, God the Father? The high priest? It was such a sacred name from what I know.
In Exodus 6, 2 and 3, God spoke further to Moses, said to him, I am Yahweh. Okay, and he says, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name I did not make myself known to them. The first one he revealed his name to was Moses. And then when Moses wrote the Pentateuch, he put in Yahweh in different places, but it wasn't officially chronologically revealed until the time of Moses. Okay.
Okay. But you say you don't study like the Hebrew letters.
No, I didn't say that. No, I said I don't study the issue of which manuscript tree. I don't study. It's called historicity. Which tree? A tree means like the Alexandrinus, for example. It's a certain Greek manuscript, or the Sinaiticus. Then you have what's called the Masoretic text, which in Hebrew. Then you have the Dead Sea Scrolls, and there are varying things. Then you have the Septuagint. So there are varying kinds of copies. I don't study those. I don't make a study of the copies, of the physical copies. I just don't. Haven't had to. Okay?
Oh. Okay. Yeah, the Tetragrammaton, when you don't know when the valves were removed, or cause I think that from, that's a pretty sacred name. It's not
from,
it's not like God with a little G or with a big G. It's a very sacred symbol. Or
yes, it's a sacred name. From what I understand, they never included the vowels in the original writings. And they understood
okay.
what the words were because people would pronounce them all the time. And they just didn't have vowels in them. And then later on, the vowel points were added for pronunciation.
Oh,
but the
okay.
scholars knew what okay. the words were. They also would write them without
wow.
breaks between words. Okay.
Sure, I think Charlemagne is the one who... He broke the actual words. Yeah,
I don't believe that's accurate.
No,
the Hebrews were doing this, not Charlemagne. So the reason they did this like this was because they didn't need to have the vowels in there because they knew what the words were. The scholars and the scribes and the people who were trained in that would study the original writing, and they didn't need to have the vowels. They understood what it was. And probably the reason there was no gaps between words was because they're saving space on scrolls in order to keep... for effectiveness and cost effectiveness. So I've understood that this is the case with very early scrolls, and some of the later scrolls would have gaps between them in the words. Okay.
Okay. The issue that I have with the Tetragrammaton and including the vowels when we don't know the vowels. I mean, you agree on that? We don't know the actual vowels that, people say
yes,
Yahweh or
and
Jehovah.
Yes and no, because the Hebrews, the Jews, have transmitted their language down through the centuries, how to pronounce, how to do things. They did that.
Okay,
so we can have a pretty...
I just heard... I think it was from the Witch Tower. I mean, excuse me.
The Watchtower is a cult.
It's
a cult. The Watchtower Bible Tract Society is a non-Christian cult. Okay.
They have a little thing on the name of God the Father, and I thought that it
okay.
said that the vowels were lost in before the Babylonian captivity.
Okay.
And,
no one knows what the true pronunciation of God's name is. The Jehovah's Witness Watchtower Bible Tract Society organization is a non-Christian cult. It's got
exactly,
all kinds
and that's in the. And the scary thing for me is
we
don't know the vowels.
But hold on. It's not a scary thing to not know the vowels. It's not a scary thing. Hold on, okay.
We got a break.
So we'll be right. Man, as someone said, the day is 616. Wow. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Interesting Friday. David from Texas, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right.
She's probably a 40-year-old Jewish lady one time, and she was pretty devout, and she said, or she told me that, we don't know the vowels, and it's crazy for anybody to put the vowels in there because they could create, the name of Satan or the secret name of Lucifer. Do you not agree with that, or is that?
No, that's just paranoia. The reason that the Jews, they didn't want to misuse God's name, so they wouldn't pronounce it. And so some think that the actual name was lost because of this. So it really doesn't matter. It's not, there's a cult called the Sacred Name Cult. And you have to pronounce God's name properly. And if you don't pronounce it right, then you're just on your way to hell. So, you know, I speak enough Spanish to get around, right? So if I'm talking to Carlos, okay, you roll the R, Carlos, un amigo de mí, okay, he's a friend of mine. All right, but if I say Carlos, I'm not rolling the R. I guess I'm not talking to him, am I? It's not really talking about him, right? It wouldn't make any sense.
Well, God, G-O-D, with a big G or with a small G means totally opposite things.
No, you're not hearing me. It's not an issue of big G, little G in the Hebrew. It doesn't work like that. So they're just letters. That's all it is. Okay, we have big and we have uncials and minuscules in Greek, but not in the Hebrew. So look, I'm trying to tell you that I have a friend in South America. His name's Carlos. Now, when I say it in English, it's Carlos. In Espanol, let's use decir Carlos. Okay, so that's how I would say it in Spanish. All right. So that's with an R,
sure.
Which is the right. So his real name is Carlos. Okay, so if I say, "Hey, Carlos, man, how you doing, buddy?" Have I not represented him properly? I'm addressing him. See, the sacred name.
Well, if we're talking about the name of God the Father, it's much more sacred. But
you're not. Okay, hold on a sec. Hold on, Dave. I've told you the same thing. You're just ignoring it. All right? You're just ignoring what I'm telling you. Do you think we have to pronounce God's name perfectly? Let me ask. Is that a requirement?
If we don't know it, we sure don't add vowels to it. If we don't
okay,
know it.
Okay, so we don't know, we shouldn't add vowels to it. Got you. So we shouldn't add vowels to it. Now what? Now what's the point?
Now the point is if you do that and you don't know what the vowels really are, you could create a secret name.
I got you. Yeah. No. Don't give me that stuff about, oh, we could be saying Lucifer's name. It's stupid. Sorry, but I shouldn't say that. But it is, okay? Sorry. Look, I get frustrated when people don't listen, and I'm sorry, but they're being illogical, and you're there, and you're not being logical, okay? It's not like if we can mispronounce his name, now we're talking to Satan. It really means you're talking to Satan. No, it's not. See, my name in English is Matthew, and in Spanish it's Mateo. And in Greek, it's Matthias. So which is the right name? I'm sorry, but you said Matthias. So that means in Ugaritic, it means child of a frog. Who knows? Is that what I'm really saying then? You're going way too far with this. And when people say, well, you might be saying Satan's name, how do you know? Because his name is Satan. Not Yahweh. There's a T in there, a Tau. The T sound, it's not there. Just because you put vowels in there doesn't mean you're saying some other, if you don't have the right vowels, it means suddenly you're saying the devil's name. Where are people getting off on this?
If you don't know the vowels, don't put them in. That's my opinion.
That's what you said.
Let's move on to one other question I had.
I got you. But your logic is faulty. You couldn't, if you put vowels in, doesn't mean you're saying Satan's name any more than Mateo in Spanish is my name. In English it's Matthew.
Yeah,
which one is the correct one? It doesn't mean, if you don't pronounce it perfectly, it doesn't mean that you're not addressing me. Okay?
Yeah, but we're talking about the name of God the Father.
I can't help it. I got to move on. Where's a wall to bang my head in? Dave from Kansas City, 45 minutes you've been waiting.
I know. I've been listening to the most illogic I've ever heard in my life. But that, you know, hey, by the way, on that, I witnessed to many Jews in my life, and the one thing they couldn't get over was Zechariah 11, where he said, "Take that magnificent price you valued me at 30 pieces of silver."
Ooh.
Jehovah,
I like that.
God, they could not get past that. So if she's saying Jesus is not God, God said, "You valued me at 30 pieces of silver. Take that to throw it to the potter's house," which they did.
Yeah, I'll look into that. I like that. Thank you, Zechariah 11. Good.
Yeah, well, yeah. They pierced his hands and feet and everything else. Yeah. I mean, you can go through. Witnessing to Jews for 40 years has taught me a lot about that. But my my question specifically, those guys are nuts. But the specifically is that, I love James White. I love Doug Wilson, but I just disagree with their theonomy and their post-tribulation.
Post-mill. I'm with you. I don't agree in post-mill. I don't see it at all. But yeah, but anyway,
I know.
But they're good guys. Yeah.
Yeah. What I was saying, it turns on me on this one phrase, and maybe I'm nuts. Redeem the times because the days are evil. But if God was reigning now, wouldn't the times be, we would be redeeming the days because the times are evil?
Well, that's a toughie, you see, because Jesus said that the binding of Satan occurred in Matthew 12, 22-32.
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew 13, he says people are taken out of his kingdom, in Matthew 13, 30-44. Mm-hmm. So, and Jesus is the king. So the implication is that he's king right now, and then the kingdom is here, which I think is eschatologically super, super significant. I think it needs to be taught in all churches, and I'm just taking a little jaunt in here. Why? Because if every Christian believed that we're in the kingdom of God right now and he's our king, it would embolden them to go out in the world and live like it.
Okay, I get that, but as far as bringing the kingdom, as far as the rule and reign, you know, as the millennial kingdom, well, we don't believe, they wouldn't believe in the millennial kingdom. They would believe that Jesus is going to rule theonomically on this earth.
Yes, theonomically. Right. And I'm not an expert in theonomy or post-millennialism. Right. And I have a friend, Eli, I don't know if he's listening still, because he was on a little bit, and he's a post-mill. And if it wasn't for that, he'd be perfect. Okay. But we've had discussions. So if he's listening, he'll smile. But well, he's a good guy. But I don't get it because I teach depreskatology. You know, it's going to get bad.
Yeah, I know. And you convinced me, so thank you very much.
I don't know if I should say you're welcome or not because it's getting bad. But I hear you. You know what? I asked him, and he said he's going to study it, you know. But this age and the age to come, from what I understand, that really puts a stop to the pre-mill and post-mill. That's just my opinion.
Right.
Probably got a lot of people mad. No, it doesn't.
And as far as the depreskatology thing, that just presses me on to be more holy and realize that the saints throughout the generations have been persecuted. And even today in countries, they're persecuted. And we need to put on the full armor of God immediately to get ready for that. So that is not depreskatology, it's prepared discology, if you want.
Okay, now look, I got to ask you something here, okay? Because you said you've done a lot of work with the Jews. You've been witnessing to them for how many years?
Yeah.
How many?
40. Roughly? I worked for Jews for 40 years.
You worked what? What was that?
I worked for Jews for 40 years then.
But, I mean, have you done a lot of study about the Judaism and know how to witness to them and things like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they were at 9/11, and they were Jews from New York, and they got in that 9/11 stuff, and I convinced them. And they the whole way home, they said, that guy's right.
Well, tell you what, you should contact us, because we're looking for people to increase the writings in the issue of Judaism. And like that little thing you did right there out of Zechariah 11, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. And also, Zechariah 12, 10.
Well, Psalm 22.
Yeah, and Psalm 22. Yeah, Isaiah 53. It's all kind of good stuff. Yeah,
I mean, you can nail it. And you know what they said? They were in that brownout in 2004, and they said the whole way back they were just saying that Rocky is. But what happens was they get to the point where they know we're right, they know they're wrong, but they say, "Well, how do we know we exist?" Or they leave reality.
Just slap them upside the head. Do you feel that? Yeah, you exist.
Well, yes, no. I know. Yeah, it's that veil that Paul said exists mm-hmm. on their eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
All
absolutely.
Right. Yeah,
a lot of it's there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, man.
I know.
Yeah,
but it's the same
thing
witnessing to that one that's Pentecostals. They just don't get it. The veil is on David's eye,
right.
or that Bob the butler, or whatever name that other girl tonight. They just are in the same, that same veil is on their eyes.
And you could tell, like with that woman, she's just argumentative.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a spiritual thing at that point.
Oh,
it's not a logical, you can't argue it. You can't even rationalize it. It's a spiritual battle.
Right, it is a spiritual battle. And what I'll do is I'll bring them to a certain place at night. I want people to see how irrational they're being and how
right.
they reinterpret God's word to make it fit. They do it all the time.
Oh.
They just, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Got to go. I got one more caller. Okay, buddy. All right, man. God bless. All right. Let's get to Anonymous from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air. We got about 2 minutes. Are you there? Anonymous. Anonymous. You're on the air. I'm trying this different ways. Let's see. What is it? Something about... look at the note. How to deal with those who don't want to believe the word. Well, what you do is you tell them the truth anyway. The word of God will not come back empty without accomplishing what he desires. Isaiah 55:11. The word of God is powerful. And it's going to accomplish what God desires. Our job is to speak the word and speak the truth. Do the best you can. Reason with them. But if you have people who just refuse to believe God's word or alter God's word constantly in order to make it fit their theology, well, that's between them and God. And they'll face judgment for that. But what you can do is simply read that word, speak that word, let the word of God dwell in you and in them in truth. That's what you need to do. All right. All right. We've got about 30 seconds left in the show. Wow. So tonight, let's see if it's on because I'll be in, let's see, scroll to the bottom right there, calendar of events. And if you go to Karen.org, bottom, yeah, there we go. Bottom of the page, of any page, it'll say calendar of events in the blue footer at the bottom. And you can go and you can see I'll be debating the Trinity tonight. It's not a formal debate, it's a discussion debate. And that's it. Me versus Sean Griffin. I haven't even studied anything from this guy yet. Oh, I got so much to do. Hey, it'll be interesting. May the Lord bless you. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll talk to you, Lord willing, on Monday. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.